Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Prairie View Church of God. Glad to see everyone. We got a lot of bodies there today, so that's good news. It's a beautiful Sunday, and we're going to get ready to worship and hear some good words from Pastor Justin today. So before we get going, I do want to share a story, and it's my aunt just texted me this last Sunday, right before we had the evening service last Sunday. In Bible study, we've been praying just about every Wednesday for my cousin Jesse, who had a cancerous tumor about the size of a softball and been going through lots of treatment, lots of pain and things. And so my aunt texted me last week and said that the radiation and the chemo has taken away the tumor completely, completely gone. So praise the Lord. You know, she just said, thanks for the prayers and that the power of prayer, it works. And so he might have to have a small section of his colon removed yet, but for now the cancer is gone. And so praise the Lord. It's a good report. And so I just wanted to share that because I know a lot of you have been praying for him and for that recovery. So thank you for that. And we're going to sing Waymaker later today. And I was just thinking as we were practicing it this morning, like, man, that's just what he is. God is the Waymaker and he's a miracle worker and he makes a way when sometimes we don't see that in front of us. So let's open in prayer, everybody. Father God, we come to you today. Lord, open our hearts and our minds. Let us worship just with our hands high. Open our ears to listen to the message that you prepared for us today through Pastor Justin. God, help us to remember in days when we're weary and we're wore out that we need to come to you and seek your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your unforgiving love in our lives. And then let us remember, Lord, as you love us, let us love our neighbors and each other. Lord, we pray in your Son, Jesus' name, on his blood on the cross. Amen.
That was short. I wasn't quite ready. But welcome. School is back in session. I know the kids are not excited. The teachers are here or there. Brian's clearly this. But I had a good week. I don't mean to brag, but I was the number one basketball player in a middle school basketball tournament, so it might have been the height advantage. Our annual business meeting is today at 5 p.m. at the church. The church will provide pizza, so if you don't want to come for the business meeting, come for the pizza. And please bring a side or dessert to share. All are welcome, but only members can vote. This Wednesday night will be the last Wednesday night that the kids run the church. At dinner is at 6:30. Kids class starts at 7, and adults and teens will start back, not this week, but next week. Men's breakfast will be Saturday at 9 a.m. at the Country Kettle. If you have not received a booklet, please see Pastor Justin, and all men are welcome. Please pick up a calendar today for September. There are some changes, so please give it a good look so you can be up to date with all that we have going on at Prairie View. It's going to be an exciting month.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your sweet presence that's here. Now, there's not a sound I love more than when we're worshiping and I can hear people crying. When I can see people that just have their eyes closed with no words on their mouth, when they've just entered into your presence. And God, I pray that as your word goes forth, that presence would thicken. God, that we would be drawn to just sit at your feet today. That we would know that you love us, that you have a rest for us that is so complete and so worth it, that nothing should stand in our way of coming to you. Holy Spirit, would you anoint my mouth? Would you give us the ears to hear what you would say to us today? In Jesus' name, amen. The title for my sermon is Rest for the Weary, and I would like you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read a pretty familiar passage of Scripture, but a lot of times when this passage is read, we read it and then we just shoot off. We don't sit with it, we don't look at it. And so today I'm not in any hurry. You know, it might be easier for some people if we just go straight into the annual business meeting out of church. So I might preach for 4, 5, 6 hours, you don't know. But I want to to really just say, Pastor Brian didn't know what I was preaching on, and he mentioned there being rest for the weary today. I told Apple that if I was a good administrative pastor, I would give her the title of my sermon early in the week, and she could pick songs based according to that, and I have not done that one time, I don't think. So she didn't know what songs or what I was going to preach on, and so I just want to reiterate to you this morning that the Lord is trying to tell us something. And it's not a harsh message. It's not a one where we got to beat ourselves up. It's good news. And it's especially good news for those who are heavy laden and burdened. And I don't know about you, but I think we all are. I think everybody in here is carrying a burden in one way, shape, or form. And so in this scripture, we read the following, Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28. Scripture says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's a couple things I want to pick out from this passage of scripture as we move along. And the first is that the invitation is to come. It's both an invitation and a command. Jesus is saying, come. But he's not saying it in the form of a question. He's not asking you if you want to come. He's giving an invitation for you to come, and he's also commanding you to come. And so he says, come to me, not come to somebody else, not come to a preacher, not come to a church, not just come to him. And that's been the overwhelming message the last few Sundays, is we got to make it about Jesus again, just Jesus. We can't make it about other stuff on our way to Jesus. We can't make it about reaching Jesus and then adding other stuff. It just has to be Jesus. And so this invitation to come, I want us to clearly understand this, that Jesus' invitation is come and receive. The Pharisees' invitation is do, and you might be good enough. And so there's two different things. And this passage of scripture, if you go home and read all of chapter 11, it falls in the midst of Jesus having some pretty rough things to say to Pharisees, to those who are bound up in tradition and those who are bound up in religion and think that that's what's going to save them. And so this promise is not just a promise that's added at the end of chapter 11 because there was nowhere else to put it. This passage follows from what Jesus was speaking to those who are already burdened and heavy laden from life, from trying to earn their own salvation, from trying to do enough to be good enough. So they are carrying just multiple burdens. And this invitation to Jesus, I want you to know first and foremost, is open to those who are exhausted and burdened down. So if you came to church today and you are your best self right now, tell me your secrets after church. But if you came to church today and you came because you love the Lord, you came because you want to gather with believers, and you're carrying burdens and you're just exhausted and you're worn out, you're in good company. Because that puts you in this promise from the Lord. If you're not heavy burdened and you're not weighed down, I don't know if it applies to you necessarily. And so this time, it's good to just be real. To say, listen, I got things I'm carrying. I got things I'm working through. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of woe is me. It's just an honest understanding that life burdens us down. And I'm thankful that I have a Lord that I can go to that doesn't ask me why I got my burdens. Doesn't shake his head and say, you're carrying four when I only gave you two. Doesn't say, why are you still carrying that one? He just says, come. Come and find rest. There's no conviction here. There's no condemnation here. It's a simple understanding of just come to Jesus. And there is nothing in this world more wearisome than trying to earn your own salvation. Because you have it, then you don't. Then you have it, then you don't. Then you have it, then you don't. It's exhausting. It's morally exhausting, it's physically exhausting, it's mentally exhausting, and it's spiritually exhausting. There is nothing more wearisome than trying to earn the approval of others and live off of that. I saw something this week, and I'll butcher it, but it said, why do we seek the approval of people that we don't accept the praise from? We accept the criticism, but in all reality, we wouldn't go to them for help. We wouldn't go to them to share a problem with them, but yet they offer criticism and it stings so bad. And so I want you to understand that earning the approval of others is a trap that you can fall into, that is almost impossible to get out of. There's nothing more worrisome than being somebody you think you're supposed to be instead of somebody you're created to be. Anybody with me? Listen, it's called rest for the weary, but you can't fall asleep when I'm preaching because then you defeat the purpose. So don't be so weary you fall asleep, but be weary enough that you're honest with the sermon. This sense of trying to do all these things that only Jesus can do, it's hard. And listen, church, it's not only certain people that fall in this trap. It's not those that are not in ministry. It's not those that attend church, 4 weeks out of a month don't fall in this trap, and those that only attend 2 weeks out of the month do. This is for everybody. We all can fall into this idea of fearing man more than fearing God, of trying to please everybody. And there's not all that is wrong, but when it becomes something that controls you, it is wrong. There are certain things that you should do if you can to appease others. You should not walk around and try and cause fights with everybody. That's not how it works. But you understand what I'm saying. There's this level of the fear of man and the fear of fitting in and the fear of doing what is expected and all these things that comes into our walk with Christ that wears us down. So Jesus gives the invitation to come, but he also says take. So it's a two-way street. You come and then you take. So once we come to him, we take from him and we are to take his yoke and we find rest. But this is a deeper rest of surrender and obedience. This is not you get a one night stay in Bismarck and you're rested up and you get to come back. This is a soul rest. And I don't know about you, but my body's not necessarily tired and my mind's not necessarily tired, but my soul, just from everything that life has thrown. And I don't want to be one of those preachers that blames COVID for stuff, but let's be honest, we're working out some things that I don't think we thought about at the start, and now we're dealing with the consequences, and some of them we don't know how to deal with. And so there's this overwhelming sense of exhaustion that just pervades almost everybody in this day and age. So there's two types of peace I want to talk about. There's the peace that we have with God, and then there's the peace that we receive from God. So if you'll turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what happens when you come to salvation. But how many of you need, I don't know how to say this the right way, you have peace with God, but there's still struggles and storms and things in your life that are causing you to not be at peace. It's not God that you're not at peace with, it's everything else, right? It's the things that you wake up and this goes wrong or something happens here or I mean, in this church alone, we could pick from 24 different things that people are going through that is not causing peace in their life. And so we have peace with God, but then we go further and there's the peace of God, and that's found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. That scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there's being at peace with God, and then there's a peace that God gives. That surpasses all understanding. We need both. You're not going to have the peace that God gives if you're not at peace with God. But when you become at peace with God, you need to have the peace he gives. Because, church, here's the thing. There's a way to live this Christian life where the joy of the Lord is our strength and where, yes, we might be walking through hell, and we might have walked through hell over and over and over, but there's a joy and a confidence that lives in us that isn't shaken, that isn't stirred, because our foundation is Christ, and we have the Spirit of the living God in us. We talk about taking a yoke, and it means to be bonded to become true disciples. And in the olden days, they would take an oxen that was big and strong, that was trained, and they put a younger one with them, one, so that he could learn how to pull without having to do all the work by himself. Listen, you and I are yoked to Christ. There is nobody stronger we can be yoked to. There is nobody greater we can be yoked to. And this term easy means well-fitting. So Christ's yoke has been specifically designed for your life, for you. My yoke is still in Christ, but it's not your yoke. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying everything goes for everybody and what's true for you is true for you and what's true for me. I'm not saying any of that. It's all in Christ. But our yokes are different. They're different because I have areas of my life where my stubbornness affects me where it may not even affect you. I have areas of my life that don't affect me, and you might struggle with it, and they're not the same. But there's comfort for me in knowing that when I yoke myself to Christ, it's tailor-made to fit me. It's not worrisome. It's not burdensome. It's not something I got to struggle to get into. It's not something that, because it's not made well, it rubs here and it cuts in here. It's not any of that. It's something I can put on and it fits. And that's beautiful to me. It's absolutely beautiful to me that I can come to Christ and he gives me a yoke that's not heavy, that's not burdensome, that doesn't try and change inherently who I am because he already lives in me. Are you with me so far? So it takes the struggle out of the struggle. And that struggle becomes Christ's struggle. Warren Wiersbe says that the burden of doing his will is not a heavy one. And I eventually will get through my midlife spiritual crisis and I'll stop saying that. We're not there. So buckle in, hang on for the ride. But a lot of my life, I think I somewhere picked up this idea that in doing God's will, there has to be a certain amount of discontentment and burden and worrisome. That's not true at all. When you follow God's will, it's not heavy, it's not burdensome, it's freeing. There is no freer place for you or I to be than right smack dab in the will of God. That's where freedom is. Anything outside of that is going to cause a struggle. It's going to cause that yoke to rev a little bit because that yoke is designed to not only help us, but to keep us. And so trying to get out of that yoke is going to cause some issues. In 1 John 5:3, if you want to turn there, read the following. It says, For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. A lot of people, and I'm calling you out today, not by name, but you'll know who you are. They say, what's wrong? I say, nothing. They say, notify your face. Are you doing okay today? Yeah, I'm doing okay. Notify your face. You know how much this face weighs? I don't have the muscles I need to get my cheeks to smile. I'm doing okay. But sometimes I think we can give off the impression that Christ's commands are burdensome. And so instead of showing joy, instead of showing power, and instead of showing empathy and compassion, we show, maybe we have a look of anger on our face, or maybe we have a look of just don't bother me, or maybe we have a look of you don't matter to me, and we don't mean to, but we do. And I want to challenge you today to understand that when you are walking in the will of God, when you are united with Christ, when you are empowered with the Spirit of God, walking in God's wills, following God's commandments should not be burdensome. It should be out of joy. It should be out of love. It should be out of power. The next thing that Jesus says is he says, learn. So we come from him and we take and then we learn. Come and take are words of immediacy. They're immediate responses. But learn is different. Learn is a word of length and commitment. It's not something that you can come to him immediately and you can take from him immediately, but you learn from him over time. Sometimes we think it works opposite, where we come and go as we please, we take what we want, and then we expect him to just all of a sudden teach us everything we need to know in a split second at an altar call at church. That's not how it works. And I'm thankful it doesn't work that way, because if God gave me everything I prayed for, I would be a miserable wretch. It'd be horrible. So we come and we take, but we learn. And so we sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to sit at your feet, right? Lay back against you and breathe. That's where we learn from Jesus. You can learn about Jesus standing afar off, and you can know some about him, but you learn from him truly when you sit at his feet. It's a deeper peace that we settle into. And so the longer we walk with Christ, the more simplified our life should become, especially when we push all that extra stuff out of the way and our focus on the Lord gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And church, honestly, our goal is not to have X amount of people in the seats or to have, you know, X amount of people on the worship team or this or that. Our goal is that each and every one of us gets a vision of God that is so big and so great that all that peripheral stuff falls away. That when we walk in, not only are we individually focused on Christ, but as a church, we are focused on Christ. Pure and simple. That makes life very simple. We complicate it so much. You ever look through one of those kaleidoscopes where you can spin it? I have two eyes, thank you. One works and one does not. And so if I look through the kaleidoscope that spins with my good eye, it's beautiful, right? It does all these cool things. If I look through it through my left eye, it's not beautiful. It makes me dizzy. It makes me want to just get sick. We've got to be careful what eyes we're looking through in this life. There is a way to look at life through the eyes of Jesus Christ that shows the beauty in everything. And there's a way to look at life through our own weak, diminished eyes, our fleshly eyes, that will skew everything, even the good. This invitation that Christ gives is for all people. And I want to reiterate, it doesn't matter where you sit. If you don't know the Lord, this invitation is for you. If you've been walking with him for 60 years, this invitation is for you. If you've got one small, tiny burden that honestly you probably could handle by yourself, this invitation is for you. And if you have so many burdens, you feel like you can't even get out of your seat, this invitation is for you. There's nobody exempt from this invitation. And so the part, though, is that I'm going to sound like I'm talking on both sides of my mouth, and I'm not. So I do believe that the Lord can work in us where we sit. But I think there's certain times in our lives where, especially in an instance like this, if we want that rest, it doesn't say stay and get your rest. It says come. There's an action involved. There's a movement involved. There's a not only just saying, hey, me over here, I'd like some, but an actual, I'm going to go get it. There's an intention on our part to go and get what Christ has promised. The beautiful thing is that when we come to Christ to get what he's promised, we don't have to be worried he's not going to give it to us. Christ is not a liar. Christ does what he says he'll do. So if he says, come, all you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest, we come and he gives us rest. Right? In 1 Peter 5:7, Scripture tells us to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. I promise you, no matter what you're going through, you have a God that cares. If you wake up every morning and just being honest, you cry for the first hour you wake up because you're exhausted, because you're worn out, because there's things going on that nobody knows about, God doesn't dismiss himself from your presence until you get your act together. God is there picking up every one of your tears, keeping them, holding on to them. When you get up and that anger hits because you're not where you thought you would be in life, because you had all these plans and you had all these purposes and you had this life built, and maybe it was even built with other people, now they're not here anymore. Christ doesn't run from you in your anger. He runs to you. He knows what it's like to deal with angry people. He died for them. He's not going to run from them now. If your Christian walk, at best, is a limp, he's not waiting for you to run. He's not waiting for you to go to a get yourself fixed, and once you can run, then you can follow him. He's coming to you to pick you up. He doesn't run from hurt and brokenness. He runs to it. Timothy Keller, who recently passed, has the following to say. He says, in Christ, we are offered not a physical promised land, but the ultimate rest. Rest from the crushing burden of self-salvation through effort and performance. Why wouldn't everyone want to enter such rest? He says, because it is a freedom unknown to modern people. One that is on the far side of trusting God rather than ourselves. And church, I'm just going to be obedient to the Lord and speak what I feel like he's asked me to speak. But I feel like there's somebody here that has heard the invitation to come and to get rest. But you don't trust God enough to give it to you. And that's not a condemnation. That's just a... Maybe you've been lied to so many times in your life that you can't trust. Maybe you've been lied to from good Christian people that said one thing and did another. We're going to have just some instrumental music start playing. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, but as I'm reading this Scripture, and then I'll say something afterwards, if you are feeling the tug and the pull of the Holy Spirit on you to come to Jesus and just get that rest, would you just come sit at his feet? It's not me that's going to give you rest. It's Christ. He's the only one that can give that rest. The only one. In Hebrews 4, verse 8, Scripture says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." There is a rest for those that are burned down by trying to earn something you can't earn. There's a rest for people that are so burned down from trying to please people that you've bought the lie that pleasing people gives, and you've convinced yourself you're not good enough for the Lord. I was saved 9 years. The first 9 years of my Christian life. And I was so miserable for about the latter 7 years of that. I read my Bible. I prayed. I went to church. I did things. I was growing in the Lord. And this is going to sound totally insane, but I don't know how else to describe it. I felt like Christ loved me and God hated me. I'm 9 years in. And I can't figure out how Christ could love me, but I can't make God happy. And I was alone in my office, and I was crying out to the Lord, and I was so exhausted. And again, this is like Christianity 101. This is like, kindergarten stuff, and I don't get it. But it says, and I didn't hear an audible voice of the Lord, but it was as if God himself told me, "I don't know why you don't think I love you. I sent my son to die for you. I sent my son." Christ did the work on the cross, but he was sent by the Father. And so if you're here today and you just think God doesn't love you, or God is upset with you, or God is disappointed in you, or that no matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to please him, I want to tell you, that's not God. That's a lie. Now, that is not to say that God is love and God and only, but you understand what I'm saying. God loves you. There is so much rest when you understand that you are loved. When you just let it go, the pretense falls away. The having to do falls away, and you get to be. That's the beautiful part. To let all that stuff go and to just be loved. So I don't know if you're here today, and I invite you, if you need that rest, to come. Maybe you just need a touch from the Lord because you're so exhausted. Church, there's nothing magic about these altars or this church or anything like that. But I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord is walking among his people today for a reason and a purpose. So you can come sit at the feet of Jesus, and he will give you that soul rest So the invitation is come. And it doesn't come from me, it comes from Jesus. So his question to you today is, will you come? Will you come and get that rest?